Proverbs chapter 25. Last week in Proverbs 25, we finished through verse 20. So let me read the rest of the chapter, and then I'll make a few comments on these verses, and then we'll get started into chapter 26 a little bit, starting with Proverbs 25, 21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls here. And so in verse 21, it talks about how to treat our enemies. The natural tendency that we have from the flesh is to respond in kind, is to fight fire with fire. Here, the verse is teaching us that we are to show kindness to them. And if they need any punishment because of what they've done to us, that God will take care of it. And if we let God take care of it, then we stay out of the middle there. And when we think about this thing about an enemy, as it says, if your enemy, how to treat your enemy. The Bible says before we were saved, we were at enmity with God. We were enemies of God. And how did he treat us? With kindness and mercy and salvation. And so if God has treated us that way, for us to treat others differently is not living out a life of thankfulness and appreciation to God for what he's done. And in a way, it's making us think like we are better than them. They deserve what they get, and we didn't deserve that. And so we learn to treat our enemies there. And so vengeance for the Christian should be far from his mind. We should not be about getting even. You know the saying, we joke about it, sometimes I don't get mad, I get even. Oh, well, somebody probably not joking. They're serious about that. But that's not for the believer in his walk with God. Verse 22 says, for you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. So whenever we have opportunity to respond in the flesh, and we choose to respond unlike the world, and in a way that is honoring to God, it says he will reward us. And the reward that we get if we take matters into our own hands is kind of a evil self-satisfaction. I got even with them. And it doesn't last very long. But if we do it the way God says it, the reward he gives is long-lasting there. Verse 23 says, the north wind drives away rain. So an angry countenance drives away. It's kind of understood words there. It drives away a backbiting tongue. A backbiting tongue, it requires two things. It requires a speaker, and it requires a listener. And if my phone's been kind of on the blink, it's acting up, and about time for new one. If Tom came up to me and said, hey, I have this brand new iPhone, I sold it to you for $50. I said, I saw them advertise on, you know, they're $1,000 now for a new iPhone. And at least that's the retail price. I don't know if anybody pays that close to it, probably. He says, I can let you have it for $50. He says, I stole it, but for you to take it, it's not stealing. You're going to buy it. So what's that called? Receiving stolen goods. Is it a crime? Okay. Is it a sin? Well, if it's a crime, it's a sin. Well, what about a person who receives backbiting words? Is that any different than a person who receives stolen goods there? And so here it says that what we're supposed to be driving away this. So if we receive those backbiting words, then we're no different than those who are receiving stolen goods. If we don't speak out against it, then people will think we are in agreement with it. And so we need to reprove it and drive it away there. Verse 24, we saw similar verses in chapter 21. It appeared in two verses in 21, verse 9 and 19, where it talks about it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. And if you go back to chapter 21, verse 9, it says it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Exactly the same thing. And verse 19 says it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. And one of the things we see there in all three verses is the word better. It's better. And as I mentioned, I think it was Sunday, either last Sunday or this past Sunday, God has something better for us. And oftentimes he says, it's better to do this. It's better to do this. It's better to not show vengeance to our enemies. It's better to let God take care of it. It's better to be kind to him. God keeps telling us things that are better. And if we listen to God and do the things that he says are better, it will be better for us as well there. Verse 25, when we apply that to the gospel, it's so encouraging. As cold waters to a thirsty soul. And no doubt you've been that way, out in the hot sun working, sweating, and you get a glass of cold water. It's so refreshing. He says, so is good news from a far country. And the word gospel is good news. And there was the gospel that came from a far country, from heaven itself, a heavenly country. That wonderful good news came to us from heaven. And it's better than cool waters to a thirsty soul. Our soul was thirsty spiritually. Speaking there, we sing songs about springs of living water and how refreshing they are, because we have good news from heaven itself that God refreshes us. Verse 26, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. That is a contaminated spring. So if somebody is coming in, they're thirsty, and they've been out in the hot sun, and they're wanting to be refreshed, and they come, and the water is contaminated, then how disappointing. Well, even dangerous if they take it, depends on the contamination. And notice what it's likening that to. It's a person who's a saved person, a righteous person, who falls down before the wicked. Wicked people are looking to us as saved people, and they're expecting a certain level of righteousness and standard of living for us there. And whenever we fall into sin and the unrighteous people see it, they're looking to us to be a well of water, a refreshing. And whenever the saved person falls, it harms those who are unsaved and are looking for something different. How important it is for us to maintain a Christian testimony which is healthy and refreshing to others. Verse 27 talks about somebody who is full of himself. It says, it's not good to eat much honey. We saw earlier, and I think this chapter or the one before that, that honey's good. But if you eat too much of it, it's going to make you sick, make you throw up. And here's the picture. And for men to search their own glory is not glory. People that are constantly patting themselves on the back and bragging about themselves, and they're just full of themselves, they're sickening, like too much honey there. And sometimes the pictures that the Bible draws for us are interesting to see. And then the last verse, 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. A city without walls is very vulnerable. It's defenseless there. And so we have to have rule over our own spirit. If I'm going to, as the scripture talks about in the sense of ruling the church, how can a person rule a church? How can a person rule a classroom? How can a person rule his house? If he can't even rule one person, he can't rule himself. And so it starts with self. He that has no rule over his own spirit, and that has to do with his emotions, which would include anger. It has to do with his tongue. It has to do with his attitude. If a person doesn't have control over his own emotions and his own anger, his own attitudes, whenever he feels that urge to retaliate to the enemy rather than feed him and give him something to drink, I don't want to do that. It just goes against what the flesh wants to do. But a person who has control over his own spirit, he's going to do what he knows is the right thing and not necessarily how he feels there. Now, as we get into chapter 26, there are three topics in this chapter, and we'll look at the first topic tonight. The first topic is the topic of the fool. It's in the first 12 verses. And then laziness is the second topic, 13 through 16. And then strife, starting at verse 17, and contentious words. So let's look at the word fool. And I'm going to read these 12 verses first. And listen, or if you have your Bible open, if you want to highlight or underline there, you can, or as my biology teacher used to say in high school, this is important, write it in italics. And so you can do that. So, and verse 1 says, as snow and summer and as rain and harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off the feet and drinks damage. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that binds a stone in a sling, so is he that gives honor to a fool. As a thorn goes up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewards the fool and rewards transgressors. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Now, in these 12 verses, do you get an idea that God wants us to understand the life of a fool and the results of living that kind of life? And so in these 12 verses, let's look at them so that we can avoid this type of living. In Proverbs, the word wise is used for the saved person, the believer, and the word fool is used to characterize an unsaved person. So verse 1, it seemly is the word here, as snow and summer and rain and harvest, so honor is not seemly. It is beautiful or fitting. It's just not fitting there. The fool, he causes trouble. He causes inconvenience. He causes harm. He's like snow at the wrong time. It's like rain at the wrong time. It's inconvenient. It's harmful. And so a fool is that way. Verse 2, as the bird And the swallow is the one that's given as an example here. And the swallow is one that flies aimlessly without a course in mind. Well, that's what the fool does. No purpose, no course. He just goes about life aimlessly there. And it says, so the curse, causeless, shall come. And so the word curse is used as the opposite of blessing. So the wise person and his choices, he gets blessings from God. But the person who's a fool and he flies through life aimlessly, he's going to bring on the opposite of blessing there. If you go out into the wind and you have a bunch of ashes and the wind is blowing towards you, you know, and you throw them out there. Hey, years ago, before we had whiteboards around here, we had the old famous chalkboards, you know, and you go out and dusty erasers, you know, and kids love to go out dusty erasers. And I went out and there was between the kitchen and the back building there, and I was out there and this kid was, it was blowing. And so I just walked up and I said, and all of a sudden it goes the other way. You know, they just weren't smart enough to figure that out. And that's what happens to the fool there. You know, it's just like dusting chalk erasers right into the wind, you know, throwing ashes into the wind. They come right back to you. Verse 3 talks about the fool, and it compares the fool to a horse and a donkey. It says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. And the whip and the bridle and the rod, they're all used for the same purpose, to determine the direction that you want them to go. And you can't use words for a fool because he doesn't listen and heed words. You have to use the rod for a fool. And so whenever we're wise, we can hear the words of wisdom, and we don't have to have the rod and the whip to our backs if we're acting wisely. Verse 4, he says, answer not a fool according to his folly. So if you respond like a fool, then you're going to lower yourself to his level. And so you don't want to do the same thing he's doing, or you end up being like a fool. That's what it says, verse 4, lest thou be like him. Verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits there. It says, according to his folly. It has the idea here of what he deserves. Expose this foolishness there. Hold your place there and go over to Matthew 21 with me for a minute. Matthew 21 and verse 23. I'm getting there. And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I'll ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And so Jesus begins to ask these questions. And in this chapter, he talks to the Herodians. Then he talks to the Sadducees. And he talks to the Pharisees. And they're all trying to trick him. And they're foolish. Anytime somebody tries to trick the Son of God, they're foolish there. And they couldn't answer his questions. So don't answer a fool according to his folly. Remember the Sadducees came to Jesus, you know, and said, if he marries his brother, the woman marries someone and he dies, marries her brother, seven of them had him in the resurrection, which they didn't believe in, whose wife she going to be, you know, and so foolish things there. Now, let's go to verse 6. He that sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off the feet and drinks damage. The more important the message is, the more faithful you need the messenger to be. And so God has given us the most important message there is to deliver. That is the message of salvation from sin and death and hell. And God needs faithful messengers to deliver this wonderful message. Verse 7, he talks about a lame man. It says, the legs of the lame are not equal. The Hebrew there means they kind of are just hanging loose there. They may look the same, but because they're hanging loose, they're not going to give the support that they need. So the legs of a lame are not equal. They're hanging loose, and so is a parable in the mouth of fools there. A fool's words, if he's trying to give a parable and trying to teach something, what he's trying to teach is inconsistent with the way he lives, because he's throwing ashes into the wind. He's dusting the eraser right back in his face, and he's trying to teach people how to live when he doesn't know how to do it himself. Verse 8, as he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that gives honor to a fool. Think about the slingshot. Think about David. Now, David's got this sling, and he's going to throw this stone at Goliath. And he puts this stone in the sling, and he slings it around. Now, what if David takes this rock, and he puts it in there, and then he pulls out some twine from his pocket there, and he wraps all that stone in there, and he just wraps it and wraps it around, and he ties or binds that stone in the sling. And now he goes to throw it. Well, that's kind of foolish, isn't it? It's not going to go anywhere. You got it tied down. Well, that's the fool. And that's what this says. As he that ties a stone in a sling. A stone's not meant to be tied there. It's going to not use its purpose. So is he that gives honor to a fool. It's a useless thing to honor a fool. It's wasted honor to give it to a fool. Verse 9. As a thorn goes into the hand of a drunkard, and that is harmful oftentimes, so a drunkard doesn't feel it because of the alcohol level there. And so as that thorn is harmful, it says, so is the parable in the mouth of fools there. And so the parable in the mouth of a fool, we have to be careful where we get our advice. If we're taking advice from a foolish person, he's trying to give us these parables, we need to be careful. When people come to us for advice, we need to be sure we're giving them words of wisdom, words of scripture, not my own opinion about things. Everybody has an opinion. We need to give them, what does God say about it? The wise will tell people what they need to hear, not just what they want to hear. Verse 10, as we continue looking at the fool, the great God that formed all things. Of course, the fool doesn't believe that, does he? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. But the great God that formed everything, he rewards the fool. Now, we use the word reward in our English language usually as a good thing. You're getting a reward. But it means a recompense to get what you deserve. And it's not a good thing what the fool's going to get. So the great God, he's going to give the fool what he deserves, and he's also going to give a recompense to transgressors. Verse 10, he rewards transgressors as well as those who are foolish. Verse 11, as a dog returns to his vomit there, so a fool returns to his folly. It's kind of little, we don't like to think about that. You've probably all seen a dog vomit and go and then start eating it. It's just kind of not too nice for me to even mention it, is it? But it's in the Bible. It's in our Bible study, so I will there. But notice the comparison. That's the way a fool does. He returns to his folly. Folly is often like a drug addict. You know, drug addicts have this strong drawing to the drug, and they need help. You know, they don't need us just to condemn them and look down on them. They need help. And so a person who is a fool, he's going to go right back to that. We use a phrase sometimes where people say they try to clean up their act. Well, the fool can try to clean up his act. And you can take a hog and you can bring him into your house and put him in the tub and wash him and put ribbons on him. and turn him back out in the yard, and guess where he's going? Right back to the mud. Because you can't just change the outward. It's a heart. And God changes the heart. And when God changes the heart of an addict, he doesn't go back to it. When God changes the heart of a dirty sinner, he doesn't go back to the mud. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. There. And so now we come to verse 12, which ends the topic of the fool, and we'll stop here tonight. It says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit?" They're a self-conceited man. He shuts the door for improvement. It says, There's more hope, of a fool than of him there. And so the fool, continuing in his own way, there's no hope. But as soon as he trusts Christ and he turns to the wisdom of God, and Christ is personified as wisdom in Colossians, when the fool turns to Christ, there's hope. But as long as he's in his foolishness, there's no hope. You can beat him with a rod, he's going right back to the mud there. And all of these other parables that we saw about a fool, he's going to just continue in his way there because his heart hasn't been changed. Aren't you glad that God changes hearts and that God moves us from that level of fool to the level of wise? We have the wisdom of God in us, not so much smarter than everybody else, but it's because of the grace of God, what he's done in our hearts. He's cleansed us and makes us fit for his kingdom. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wisdom of the scriptures. And we thank you for the direction that you give to us. Help us that we would see the era of being foolish, the era of being self-conceited, full of pride, the era of retaliating those that seek to harm us. Lord, it's so important that we live according to the principles of your word so that we can enjoy the reward that you have for the wise as well as for the foolish and the wicked. And so we thank you for the blessings and the rewards that are ours as we faithfully follow you. In Christ's name, amen.